Testament to Matthew 17. We return to this chapter this morning, Matthew 17, and we're going to read from verse 5 through to verse 9. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus. And as they were come down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. The congregation on the mount, referred to by Peter as holy, Peter, James and John were given a brief foretaste, a glimpse of the spectacular sight, of the visible display of Christ's glory, which is known at this present time in heaven. In verse 2 we read, And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. He was transfigured. Children, what does this mean? He was changed, transformed. That is, his appearance. And oh, what a sight those disciples beheld. How privileged they were. They were eyewitnesses of his majesty. In Peter 2, chapter 1, we read in verse 16, For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And Peter there is referring to that occasion recorded for us here in Matthew 17. Eyewitnesses of his majesty. The Lord was transfigured, his appearance was changed before them, and they beheld, they were given a little glimpse of his majesty, that which is seen in heaven at this moment. How privileged they were, how privileged we will be one day, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we will see his majesty as it so shines forth when we get to heaven. Now glorious things took place on the mount. And those disciples there, they were struck with the presence of God. God the Son was set forth in a most glorious way, and God the Father spake. Notice verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. They saw the Lord, they heard the voice of the Father, and as a result, we're told in verse 6, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. They were so struck with the glory and the majesty and the presence of God that they fell on their face and they were sore afraid. But there was no need to fear. For what do we read in verse 7? Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. With Jesus, there is no need to fear. And oh, that we would grasp this. And oh, that we would consider it this morning. We're in the presence of the Lord. But there's no need to fear, because we have a wonderful mediator, a glorious covenant head, and we are accepted through him. Or to be aware of the presence of the Lord. He comes in a special way in the gatherings of the saints. Such gatherings are some of the most frequent times when the believer is aware of the Lord. He's here. In Hebrews 2 verse 12 we read, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. He reads the psalm. He is here in a spiritual way. Oh, to focus on him. Certain things can come to our mind. We can be perplexed. We can be thinking of situations we have faced in the week, but oh, let's focus on Him. We're in the presence of the Lord, and we're accepted if we're a believer. Oh, to focus on Jesus. Well, we return this morning again to consider this event on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, some have believed it was Mount Tabor. However, it probably was Mount Hermon, the highest peak in the range, just above Caesarea Philippi, the place where Peter had just previously given that confession of Christ, which we considered. Without any further introduction, I'd like us to consider again here the Holy Mount, as Peter makes known in 2 Peter 1 and verse 18. And as we do so today, I'd like us to consider, first of all, the voice that the Father heard. And then secondly, the compassion of the Son beheld. And then in conclusion, Jesus only. The voice of the Father heard, the compassion of the Son beheld, and then in conclusion, Jesus only. Come with me to verse 5 as we consider the voice of the Father heard. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now Peter gives, as we have seen, a little more detail to this occasion. In 2 Peter 1, verse 16, we read, For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we make known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And there Peter speaks of the excellent glory. And the voice came from it. Now Mark records in Mark 9 verse 7. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. The glorious presence of God was known in the cloud. And the voice was heard out of it. But then we consider further when we think of the excellent glory. We consider that God's glory is most displayed in heaven. Matthew Henry wrote, God is gloriously present in heaven. He's everywhere. But he's especially known in heaven. For that's where he displays his glory most. So then when we bring this together, when we think of the excellent glory, we think of the voice that came out of that bright cloud, but then also from heaven, from the cloud and from heaven, where the presence of God was particularly known. Well, we read in verse 5, While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Well, here the Father speaks, and in doing so, he presents the Son. Now, we considered last week there have been Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus, and we think there are the law and the prophets. Moses representing the law, Elijah the prophets. As we think of the law, represented by Moses. The law pointed to Christ, and so did the prophets, represented by Elijah. But the particular focus is on Jesus Christ. And that's what we see here. And the Father particularly focuses on the Son here on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Well, let's just briefly open this up this morning. First of all, this is my beloved Son. My beloved Son. Now we know Scripture plainly teaches there is one true and living God. As we think of the Godhead, there are three persons in the Godhead: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We see that in Matthew 28, verse 19. And then, children, remember the benediction we often have here in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 14. We often hear it, don't we? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. We think of one God in three persons. We think of the Godhead. We think of three persons, or distinctions. The Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it like this: there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. Now, as we think of the Godhead, and we think of the persons, the Father speaks to the Son, and the Son speaks to the Father. The Holy Spirit enjoys communion as well. Blessed communion. And oh, what communion the three persons had in the Godhead in eternity before this world was made. Now just think of that, children. Before the world was made, there was God. And they enjoyed such eternal fellowship with each other as we think of the persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost speaking to them. And they enjoyed such fellowship. They knew it for all eternity, such communion. And we have an example of the communion between the Father and the Son in John 17, verse 24. Yeah. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You see that communion there? And the Son speaks of that fellowship and also that love he had with the Father before the foundation of the world. Well, here on the Mount, we see the Father speaking of the Son. This is my beloved Son. You see here the Father is drawing the attention of Peter, James, and John to consider the Son, and so our attention is drawn as well. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. This is my beloved Son, the beloved Son, eternally begotten. And we think there of the eternal generation, eternally begotten. We read a bit in Proverbs 8, verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was, where there was no depths I was brought forth, when there were no foundations abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. It's the Lord thinking. And then you remember those words in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, eternally begotten. He was always the Son. It doesn't imply he's inferior. No. But it shows an eternal relationship. Well, such love the Father had to the Son. And always he had such love towards the Son. And you pause and consider this. When Christ on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Still the Father so loved the Son. Well, here he is the beloved Son, esteemed by the Father, dearly beloved. Proverbs 8, verse 30 again. Then was I by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Such joy the Father had and has in the Son, the beloved Son, esteemed, dearly loved. We may be helped to understand this a little when we think of the husband's love towards his wife, or the wife's love towards her husband, Often the husband will speak of the wife, my love, my beloved. And the wife speaks of the husband, my love, or my beloved. And why? Because they greatly love them and esteem them. And it's known on the lips, isn't it? And in other ways, dearly loved, esteemed. How much more the Father's love towards the Son. And here the Father makes it known, this is my beloved Son. Here he is. And here he is this morning in the Word. The beloved Son. Oh, such love in the Godhead. Infinite love exists between them, between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Beloved. My beloved Son, well, as we hear the Father's voice this morning here in the Word on the Mount, is he your beloved? Do you refer to Jesus as my beloved? The Father speaks of him, my beloved Son. He's beloved, infinitely loved. If he's infinitely loved by the Father, are we loving the Son? Do we look on him as the beloved one? In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8, we read, the voice of my beloved. Here's the Father speaking of the Son. In the Song of Solomon, the believers listening to the beloved one. The voice of my beloved. Can you say that this morning? The voice of my beloved. The Father so loves him, but I love him as well. He's dear to me, I esteem him. And I'm so grateful for that union. Chapter 2, verse 16 of the Song of Solomon. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He's mine, and I really do know him then. To be the beloved one, he's my beloved. I know him to be so loved by the Father, but he's loved by me as well. What a blessing to know this one whom the Father sets forth. This is my beloved Son. What are you saying this morning? And he's my beloved as well. Can you say that? Do you speak of him with delight? What we read in Solomon 5 verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. His mouth is most sweet. I've known such blessing from his lips. Through the word. Such loving truths have been set before me. Comforting truths to help me. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he's altogether lovely. I think of his lips, how he speaks to me. And then I begin to muse over other things. I think of his face, how loving it is towards me. His hands, how supportive. His feet, how strong to bear me up when he stands up to carry me. He's altogether lovely. This is my beloved. The Father looked on the Son as the beloved one to you this morning. Here's the Father speaking, this is my beloved Son. Are you looking at Jesus? He's my beloved as well. This is my beloved. You may think of a friend or a family member. You look on them, they're my beloved. But here's Jesus. The beloved Son and my beloved Mediator and Saviour. He's altogether lovely. Reverend John Rabbi Duncan wrote, can you conceive anything more beautiful than the character of Jesus Christ? Jesus is lovely. This is my beloved Son. The beloved Son, but let's consider a little further as we think of the Father's voice on the Mount. These words, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 5. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Yeah. Entirely satisfied. The Father was and is with the Son. He was the elect, the chosen one. Yeah. In Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighted. Remember, he was daily the delight of the Father in eternity. In whom my soul delighted, says the Father of the Son. And here on the mount, in whom I am well pleased. He was the chosen one. In Psalm 89, verse 3, I made a covenant with my chosen. He was satisfied with the Son. In eternity, he looked on the Son and he knew that he could fully meet the condition of life. He was satisfied. He looked on the Son as the faithful one. He was pleased with the Son as the chosen mediator. And he came into this world, and here on the mount, he sets forth the Son. He was satisfied in him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He has done what Moses could not do. He has done what Elijah could not do. In whom I am well pleased. Satisfied. This is here the Father then, presenting the Son to Peter, James and John, the beloved one, in whom I am well pleased. He was satisfied. He knew the Son was obedient and would meet the condition of the covenant in full. And what the Lord said in Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do it. And the Father looks on the Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father was pleased with the Son. He looked on the Son as the mediator and was satisfied. He was the chosen one. He would do it all. Oh, consider these works. The beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, we can rest in Jesus then, can't we? He's done it all. The Father's making it plain. He's satisfied in the work of Christ. We can look on him. We can rest. We can look to the future because the Father is well pleased in the Son. He was satisfied. What words of comfort here. We can go forward. But then notice thirdly here this morning, as we think of the Father's voice heard on the mount, hear ye. Hear ye him. And consider the authority firstly in these words. Hear ye him. We consider the Father has presented the Son as the loved one, in whom he was well pleased, satisfied. Here come these final words. Hear ye him, listen. Oh, the authority of these words. The Father is speaking. We have a duty to listen. But let us see it more than a duty. It should be our delight and our joy to listen to Jesus. If God hath said it, we must do it. There's authority here. Hear ye him. But then consider something the importance of these words. Hear ye him. To neglect is not good. Think of the unbeliever, first of all. If the unbeliever neglects these words continually in their life, well, there's cause for alarm. You think what Christ has said in the gospel is for the good of the soul, isn't it? To neglect, oh, it's very serious. What a blessing, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We have not neglected him. We listen to the voice of the Son. How important it is to listen, isn't it? Hear ye him. Such importance here, isn't it? The Father's making it very plain. It's important. Hear the Son. It's important to listen, isn't it? I remember a few years ago with my wife sitting down in our lounge and a friend had come round to talk with us. And he loved to talk. And I was a little tired, and as he was talking, I fell asleep. After an hour I woke up, he was still talking. He hadn't noticed I'd fallen asleep. He just carried on talking. I wasn't listening. How important it is to listen to Jesus, though. It's vital, it's important. Here's the Father speaking. Hear ye him. It's for the benefit and good of our souls. that Christ is set forth here as the mediator. And we fought last week, did we not? He is prophet, priest, and king. But consider particularly, he is the prophet, and we're to listen to him. The Father sets him forth as the mediator, and first of all here as the prophet. Hear ye him. We're to listen. He speaks the truth. He has comfort for our souls. Oh, what a prophet he is. Consider how he, as prophet, speaks in that initial way. In Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, and the believer through grace go. They've listened to the prophet. Have you listened to the great prophet? Hear ye him. We read in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. At this time of year, I'm sure you've noticed the little lambs in the field. Lovely little lambs in the field. But when the shepherd comes with food, the sheep and the lambs go running. Have you gone running to Jesus by faith? Have you heard his voice? My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And what does the believer say? The voice of my beloved. Do you know the voice of Jesus? Have you heard in that initial way? He's the great prophet, mediatorial prophet. Hear ye him. We're to listen to him. And secondly, as we consider listening to the beloved, the believer and the church as a whole is to continue listening to Christ in everything. John Gill puts it like this: embrace his doctrine, submit to his ordinances, and obey his commands. Think what Jesus said himself, come unto me, and then in the following verse, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Learn of me. And that's what we're seeking to do, isn't it, brothers and sisters in Christ? We're seeking to learn. We're disciples, we're pupils, followers of Jesus. He's the great teacher, the mediatorial prophet, and we seek to learn further from him. And what's the great lesson he sets forth there? Not only he teaches it from his lips, by his example also, I am meek and lowly in heart. Oh, to be more humble. Oh, to be more gentle, more like Jesus. Oh, to learn of him, be an imitator, a follower, as we see in Ephesians 5 verse 1. Oh, to learn of Jesus. What a privilege to learn of Jesus. I don't know what your teachers were like at school or like are at school today. There's some teachers I got on well with, other teachers I tried to sit there very quietly so I never got told off because they were very stern. Think of Jesus, the best of teachers, so kind, so helpful. What a privilege to learn. Oh, that we would listen more to Jesus. Oh, that we would be at his feet more often, learning of him, embracing his doctrine, submitting to his ordinances, and obeying his commands. What did Jesus say just before he went up with a shout? And with the trumpets, as we sang of in Psalm 47 this morning, what did he say? Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, teaching them to observe, to follow his principle, to follow the word, or to listen to him. The church is to be listening to the great prophet, but also to the king in all things. The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, scripture contains the credenda, the things which we are to believe, and the agenda, the things that we are to practice. What we're to believe and what we're to practice. Hear ye him, says the Father. Oh, keep listening. In times of trouble, listen to Jesus. Hear ye him. When you're weary, listen to Jesus, hear him. And what Jesus said in Mark 6, verse 31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Listen to Jesus when you're weary. Where are we to be? At the feet of Jesus. Let's seek to get there often. We live in a busy world and there's much to attend to. But let's not neglect getting to the feet of Jesus each day in a spiritual way. Remember Martha, she had a sister called Mary. And what was said of Mary in Luke 10, verse 39, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. That's the important thing, isn't it? Most of all on the Lord's Day, it's being at the feet of Jesus, isn't it? But in the week as well, opening up the Bible each and every day, in times of public worship as well, listening to him, be there at the feet of Jesus. He has a word for us. Oh, to be there at the feet of Jesus. Well, we consider then the Father's voice heard on the mount. But as we draw to a close this morning, I'd like to consider secondly the compassion of the Son beheld. The compassion of the Son beheld. Now as the voice was heard and this glorious display of Christ's majesty was seen, the disciples were fearful. I wonder, do we become a little fearful of the presence of the Lord at times? Suddenly we may be aware of him in the gatherings of the saints, and we've done something wrong. We may be like these disciples, fearful. How can we draw near any further? Well, these disciples, they were fearful. The Father had spoken, and the Son had been in the most glorious way transfigured before them. And what do we read in verse 6? And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. I'm reminded of those shepherds. When they saw the glory of the Lord, they were sore afraid, greatly troubled. Here's these disciples. They fall on their face and were sore afraid. They were in awe of God. It was a notion that if one saw the majesty of God, they may die. That was Manoah's belief in Judges 13. We see there he was fearful. He says to his wife in verse 22, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would he at this time have told us such things as these. There was this notion then that if they saw the glory of God, they could die. Well, here are these disciples. They fall on their face. They were sore afraid. They were struck with fear in the presence of the Lord as they particularly hear the voice of the Father. But there was no need to fear. For what do we read in verse 7? Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. You know, we should be in awe of God in the gatherings of the saints. We should be so focused on him and thankful for compassion that we can ever praise him, that we can ever gather in his presence in a special way. And we can be comforted. There's no need to fear in the presence of the Lord. Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. You've come to the gatherings of the saints and a holy God is here. But Jesus says, be not afraid. Hear ye him. How wonderful is the gospel, that we can remain in the presence of the Lord this morning and rejoice in Jesus. Hear ye him. He comes, he touches them and says, arise and be not afraid. He draws near in compassion, he approaches. In compassion he approaches us. There's no need to fear. He reassures the disciples. He comes to them, he touches them. They're accepted. They're in the presence of a holy God, but they're accepted. We're in the presence of a great King in the spiritual way, but we're accepted. He comes to reassure. He touches to comfort them. And we are reassured and comforted through the Word and His Spirit. He draws near. He sees our fears, our struggles. Sometimes we're in the presence of the Lord and we're suddenly aware we did something wrong earlier. We're suddenly aware we were unkind to someone. We did something wrong that we wouldn't want anyone else to know about. Yet we're aware that the Lord knows. And we seek forgiveness. And he touches us through the Word. There's no need to fear. Any unconfessed sin, you go to him now. There's no need to fear. If you penitently confess it, be not afraid. He comes near with a heart full of compassion. He makes his way to comfort you. All is well. With a heart full of compassion, he makes his way to heal your distressed soul. These disciples, they were distressed. And you may be distressed because of other things. Well, he comes to heal your distressed soul. No wonder we want to listen to Jesus. Hear ye him, says the Father. You listen. You listen to the Lord in his presence. He will come. He will make his way to heal your distressed soul. You remember that centurion? His servant was sick and tormented. What do we read in Matthew 8, verse 7? Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. These disciples, they were distressed. I will come and heal them. He touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. He comes. What compassion we see here in the Mount, in the presence of God. But there's compassion. How great is his compassion. When we first consider his holiness, we don't deserve to be in the presence of God. We don't deserve to have fellowship with the beloved. But he wants that fellowship. And he makes plain to us that you enjoy this fellowship because of me. You're unworthy, you're a sinner. But I am a great mediator, a wonderful saviour, and I come near to you. Oh, what compassion. I will come and heal him. He makes his way. Remember those disciples in the storm? He saw them toiling. Mark 6, verse 48. And what we read a little later. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. You may be struggling. Jesus comes to do you good. Note these words here. Arise. Be not afraid. I can worship the Lord because of Jesus, my Saviour. You know, can I say this lovingly? We need to think more often of the great privilege of worship in public and in private. That we can worship the Lord, we can be in the special presence of the Lord, not because of ourselves, but because of Jesus. And we need not fear because of him. Arise and be not afraid. You're accepted. All is well. Now you think here. The Father presents the Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Satisfied in Christ and what he would fully do. And then the Son here, speaking to his people. There's no need to fear. I'm the mediator. I'm your Redeemer. Through me there is access. I'm the mediator. Arise and be not afraid. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, we can meet with God because of Jesus the Son. We can be in the presence of God for all eternity on the Mount because of God the Son. Arise and be not afraid. Arise and sing praise then with joy in your heart. Arise and sing in your home. Look forward to heaven, because all is well. I am the mediator. Arise and be not afraid. And as we close these two sermons, Jesus only, Jesus only. Notice verse 8. And when they had lifted up their eyes and saw no man, save Jesus only. Moses and Elijah were now gone. There was just Jesus. The focus was on him. The law pointed out sin. Moses, the prophets, Elijah pointed to Jesus. Is Jesus only now on the Mount? Spurgeon wrote here, this was all they wanted to see for their comfort. All the comfort then that any troubled hearts want, it can be found in Christ. Jesus only. It's good that we say hello, isn't it, when we come in. We show kindness. But above everything else, what is it? Jesus only in the gatherings of the saints. When we come to our private times of worship, above everything else, what is it? Jesus only. And when we get to heaven, yes, we look forward to seeing so many and the sights of heaven, but above everything else, Jesus only. And our focus will be particularly on him. Oh, it's Jesus we want to think of, isn't it? It's easy, we can be distracted in our lives, oh, to focus more on him. Remember what those certain ones said to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. Save Jesus only. And it's my prayer as pastor that more of Jesus you would see in the gatherings of the saints. And may we have a focus on Jesus when we meet together, not criticizing others, but loving Jesus. He's the beloved Son. Hear ye him. And we who love him. Oh, to love him in the worship of God. And in the private times of worship. To love him more. We're able to enjoy the presence of God this morning because of him. We're able to rejoice because of him. We're able to pour out our hearts because of him. Jesus. Only. I have a book in my study, and with this I close. It's got a picture in this book of the people crying, the Lord's people. They're in tears, the day of declension. And there's a simple title. Oh where is Emmanuel? Let him ever be found here at Montbecker. Let him ever be found in our quiet times. Set your affections on things above, Jesus only. And what a blessing, dear children, to think of Jesus. People will disappoint you. Disappointments will come your way. Jesus only for me, in the public worship of God and in my quiet times. A little time with him will help us in the week and in the day. Jesus only. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, oh, to think more of thee when we gather. Oh, to think more of thee in our quiet times. Oh, to see more of Jesus, we pray. Oh, to think more of Jesus. Oh, to love him more. Thou set him forth as the beloved Son, so loved by thee and loved by us. May we love him a little more. Oh, Lord, we pray. May we be at his feet more often. May we be so amazed. Oh, Lord, we meet in the presence of such a holy God, yet we can sing this final praise because of Jesus our Saviour. Oh, to focus more on the wonder of being accepted in worship because of Jesus our Saviour. Oh, to think more of Jesus. Oh, for a closer walk with him. And oh, may Emmanuel be known more in the congregations in this land. Oh, may Emmanuel be known more in this church and in our lives. For well, that is our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our final praise, Psalm 85, verses 5. We'll sing from verse 5 to verse 11. Shall thy displeasure thus endure against us without end? Look thou to generations all thine anger forth extend. That in thee may thy people joy, wilt thou not us revive? Show us thy mercy, Lord, to us do thy salvation give. And hear verse 8, or hear what God the Lord will speak to his folk. Here speak peace. Psalm 85, verses 5 to 11, and the tune is Naomi.
Shall thy displeasure
to
bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.